Well, we sure do appreciate y'all and appreciate y'all praying for us. If you would, take a Bible tonight. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in your Bible. Amen. Try to preach for a little while. I'm glad to see you got a clock back there. We do appreciate the hospitality. Appreciate the room you got down there. That fellowship hall you got, man, that is, I hope you folks realize what a blessing that is to your church. We would love to have something like that at our church. We got the money to do something like that at our church, but we got no land to put it on. And the little bit of land that we do have is our parking lot. And then on the other side of the church, where we have some open land, that's our septic system. And obviously, you need a septic system, so we can't have it over there. So we're actually working on some things, trying to do some things right now. But, man, praise the Lord for that. You really got something good going on there. But we sure do appreciate you. And it was a bit of a drive down here, but we enjoyed it. And we stopped last night just below, I guess, where y'all go back to go to Dollywood and Gatlinburg and all that. We stopped there and got a hotel because couldn't find one anywhere in the area. And we got up this morning, and my oldest daughter there, that's the older blonde there with the glasses on, she looked out the hotel window. That's my daughter. That's not my wife. That's my 22-year-old daughter. She looked out the window and she said, "Oh my." And I said, "What? What happened? Are you okay? You know, well, oh my. What's wrong?" And she says, "There's Buc-ee's." I said, "What on earth is Buc-ee's?" So I looked out the window and my wife said, "What is it? What is it?" I said, "It's a gas station." Odd, man. Odd. But. So I had to take the girls to Buc-ee's before we got back on the highway to get down this way. So we stopped down at the Buc-ee's, and it was just the goodness of God that I got out of there with my wallet still in my pocket. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you folks don't know me. I don't know you too well, and except for your preacher and his family sure been a blessing to our church, and I just want to try to be a blessing here, me and my family, for a couple nights to you. And we hope we can be a blessing. My wife's already given me a list of words that I am not allowed to say. If I say anything uncouth or common or anything, don't worry. She will take care of it when we leave. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, I understand you folks have been around a good while. I know you got a good pastor, and you've heard a lot of different preachers come through and preach a lot of different things. I realize that, and I know you're familiar with this verse. The Apostle Paul, he's getting ready to die. Amen. He's going to lose his head. And what a way to go, man. I mean, just to lay down that neck of yours and say, "Have at it, boys." Man, absent from the body is to be present with Christ, and you're gone just like that, and you wake up on the other side, and there's Jesus Christ saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen? What a blessing that would be. I know you know all that, but I'd like to try to give you just three little things out of this passage of Scripture that we just read here tonight, and I hope it might be a help to you as we're here in these last days that we're living in. So if we could, Brother Job Coley, would you open us in prayer, brother?
Amen. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity tonight.
Yes, sir. Amen.
A meeting, God, I pray you'd use the brother now.
Right.
Lord, that you might, from heaven, give us something for our hearts and lives. Amen. And pray that for every home that's represented here, God, that you might do something special.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, may we leave different than the way we came. Use the man of God, touch him.
Yep.
God, give him everything that you want him to say, Father, Lord. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to look at this just a little while here. First off, I'd like you, if you would, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now look, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I use a lot of Bible when I preach. I want the Word of God to convince you. I don't want to convince you. I want God's Word to convince you. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You know, my pastor, when I was a boy growing up at a church in Red Lion, Pennsylvania, I grew up at a church and we had a pastor. His name was Ronald Schmuck, and he was an old man, and he was just quite the preacher. But he used to have a saying that he always used to say that I remember since I was just a little boy. He would say, "You know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. It's how you finish." You know what? My hope is for everybody at Gorham Baptist Church, I hope that they finish well. My hope for you folks down here at Calvary Baptist Church is I'd like to see you finish well. Your pastor would like to see you finish well. All these missionaries and things would like to see you finish well. But he would say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I found that that's actually Bible. That's scriptural. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7, look at verse 8. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. You say, what's that mean? It ain't how you start, folks. It's how you finish. Look at the rest of that verse, just for the sake of reading the verse. It says, thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. If you would, flip with me over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4 again, where we were a minute ago. Well, we're going to look at a different verse. I'm finding, I don't know if you folks realize it or not, but if you're born again in this day and age, you are in the minority. Amen. Amen. The minority of people are born again. The majority of people are going to die and go to hell. I don't say that with any joy in my heart whatsoever. I don't want folks to go to hell. I care about people, and I'm not even a people person, and I still care about people. Amen. You say, why is that? I wouldn't wish my worst enemy to die and go to a devil's hell. Amen. But the honest truth is, if you're born again tonight, you're in the minority. If you're a Baptist, you're even in more of a minority. If you're a King James only, that minority just got smaller. Now look, listen to me. If you're King James rightly dividing and you look at that Bible and you study it in a dispensational way, amen, folks. You are in the minority. But here's what I'm finding out about the minority churches that we have, mine, yours, and all over the place, Brother Coley's, and all across this great country. Folks aren't finishing. They ain't finishing. They're falling out, they're dropping out, and there's all kind of reasons why, but they ain't finishing, and it looks bad. It looks bad to the world, folks. They ain't finishing. Man, brother, I could move down here. Your folks, amen. Folks, I'll be honest with you, man. Up in Pennsylvania, I got some good folks, and some of them amen, some of them don't. But my favorite place to preach is on the street. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Out there, I get a reaction. No matter what, good, bad, indifferent, I get a reaction. This is as good as preaching on the street down here. Amen. Gorham Baptist Church, going to have to find a new preacher. Amen. Say, what are you talking about? Folks ain't finishing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 3. You know over there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says there's going to be a falling away first. People ain't finishing. You say, why ain't they finishing? Because they're falling away. They're falling out. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You say, what's going on? People are falling away. They ain't finishing because they keep falling out. They're falling out of church. They're falling out of their homes. They're falling out of the Word of God. They're falling out of a prayer life. They're falling out of any kind of ministry that they're in. And what happens is it looks bad to the whole world because folks that are born again, that are rightly dividing, King James only, don't finish. I remember when I was a boy, my pastor, that pastor I just mentioned a few minutes ago, look at Micah chapter 7, Micah chapter 7. That pastor I mentioned a few minutes ago, he back when he started that church in about old 1969, somewhere in there, Micah chapter 7 in your Bible. He started that church, and he decided he wanted to start a church bus ministry and go into the city and pick up the inner city kids. And on a Sunday morning, he went up to a fellow named Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith was my Sunday school teacher many years later. But Mr. Smith, he went up to him and he said, Kenny, Mr. Smith, he's probably 85, 86 years old now. But anyway, he went up to Kenny and he said, Kenny, he said, here. And he gave him a set of keys. And Mr. Smith said, what's that? And he said, that's your new bus. And Mr. Smith said, okay, Pastor, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to go out every Sunday morning and go into the city where none of us want to go and pick up all them little kids that you could find. Yeah. And he said, by the way, I'm going to need you to go out there on Saturdays and go through the city and knock on doors and start a bus route. Yeah. And you know what Mr. Smith said? He said, sounds good to me, preacher. But look, folks, that was in 1969, 1971, somewhere in that range. But that's not the amazing part of the story. The amazing part of the story is Mr. Smith was still driving that bus and running that route well up into his 70s. You say, what happened? He got to the point where he couldn't physically do it anymore, but he finished, man. And man, I'm telling you, if you're ever going to be something for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to get it in your head that I'm going to finish this thing. You're going to have to want to finish. Look at Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Look down there at verse 8 if you would. The Bible says in Micah 7 verse 8, it says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise when I sit in darkness, and the Lord shall be a light unto me. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about finishing, folks. Amen. We need to finish. We need to finish. You say, why? Because everybody's watching you. You say, why should I finish? Well, because Jesus Christ hung on a cross and finished for you. As a matter of fact, if I remember that Bible right at all, I know that he got to the end of hanging on that cross. And as he hung there, and before he gave up the ghost, you know what he said? He said, it is finished. Folks, we ain't finishing, and we become a laughing stock to the people. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Look down there at verse number 10. Proverbs 24:10. Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know what happens? Things get hard, things get a little bit rough, and people don't finish. Look down there at verse 16. It says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. That Bible says you're going to fall. You know you're going to fall. But the key is, man, once you fall, is to get right back up. You ever see that? I remember back there in the 80s, there came a commercial on the television about that life alert. You push the button and it would alert people. And that thing, that it was a famous commercial. The woman, she would fall down the steps and she would lay there and she'd say, I'm falling and I can't get up. Yeah. A lot of Christians are in that shape today. They've fallen and they can't get up. Friend, you're going to fall. I promise you, I've fallen. Hey, you're going to fall. All Christians fall. Think about it. Jonah fell. David fell. Peter fell. You're going to fall. You say, what's the difference? They got back up. If you don't get back up, you can't keep going. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. I tell you, there's a lot of reason why people don't finish. Look over there at Psalms, since we're back here. Look at Psalms 119. A lot of reasons why people don't finish. One of the reasons people don't finish, I don't know how it is down here. I don't know you people, but I do know the people up in my area. One of the reasons they don't finish is because people get offended very easy. I figured this was the Bible Belt. I mean, y'all don't get offended down here. We was coming down the road. I don't know where we were. I think we were almost to Knoxville, and we were coming down the road. I think we were still on 40 at the time, and we came around the bend, and I said, my goodness, look at that. And my wife said, what is it? And I said, you got to get a picture of that. And it was a big sign, and it said, what was that place? It had a big picture of President Trump on it. And it said the Trump MAGA outlet. And it was this big billboard. Y'all see that? I said, good Lord, honey, you got to take a picture of that. And she said, what for? I said, we got to send it back to our people. They'll have a fit. And she said, what do you mean? I said, we'll lose 3/4 of the church, man. They'll all move down here. It'll be something. We got a lady at church, folks. She has Trump socks. She has Trump shirts. She has Trump everything. Say, what are you talking about? Folks don't finish. You say, why? The reason I told you that story is I got to be very careful what I say at church about Trump.
You're right.
I can offend people. You say, what are you talking about? Folks, I'm a Trump supporter just like most of you are. And if you ain't, you need to get right with God. Amen. But anyway, my point of that is, hey, I got to be careful because Trump supporters get pretty sticky about that. You say anything, and look, Trump ain't the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Man, people get a little funny. Well, he did a good job. I didn't say he didn't. I didn't say he didn't, but he ain't the answer. You say, what are you talking about? People get offended. The problem with that is Psalms 119. Look at verse 165. 165 of Psalms 119. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why do Christians get so offended? That Bible says that nothing ought to offend us. You know what you ought to do, friend, and I don't know you folks, and I don't know what you do. I know you got different ministries you're involved in. I know you got that, what do y'all call it, the First Fridays or something where you set up in the streets out here. Man, what a blessing. That's a great idea. That's good. If you're one of them kind that gets offended easy, I tell you what you need to do. This will cure your offended easiness. Get you a sign, and you go stand on the street. You get you a sign that says, please don't go to hell. Whatever. I don't care. It can say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. I don't care. Put a Bible verse on it, and then go stand on the corner. You will get over your getting offended quickly. Quickly. We got a fellow at our church, his name's Brother Rick, and another one, Brother Micah. I got them started going out street preaching. I go out once a month. Them boys, they're addicted to it. They go out every Saturday. Brother Rick goes out through the week after work. But anyway, we go out there and people ride by and they holler at us and scream at us. Some folks go by beeping the horn, thumbs up and all that kind of thing. Some guys go by and they give us all kind of hand signals. You know, some of them you know, some of them I don't know. And Brother Micah was standing over there one time, and I said, Brother, he's younger, you know, he's only like 25. I said, Brother, what did that mean? Some weird signal. He said, they're gang signs, brother, they're gang signs. You say, what are you talking about? You go do that, man, you'll get over your getting offended. You can't offend me. I don't get offended. I've been called everything on the streets. I've been called a loser. I've been called, listen now, I've been called on a Saturday. I've had people tell me, go get a job. It's Saturday. Why ain't you at work? You say, what are you talking about? Folks, I don't get offended too easy. You say, what happened? That cured me of getting offended. That cured me. It'll cure you. People get offended. They say, why do they fall? Well, they fall because they get easily offended. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'll show you another one. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in your Bible. Isn't it good to have a King James Bible to see what it says? Otherwise, you just have to listen to me up here, and that would be a drag pretty quick, amen? Over there in John chapter 6, look down at verse 61. John 6, 61. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 61, it says in John 6, 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What's the matter, boys? God talking to you and he's offended you? You say, why do people fall? They get offended. They get offended. They get upset. I'll give you another one. Well, keep going there. Look at verse 66. We'll finish that out a little bit. Verse 66. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You say, what happened? They got offended. They got offended. This preacher say something to offend you? Huh? Don't let it offend you. He's trying to help you, man. Honestly, whether you believe it or not, a pastor truly does care about his people. A good pastor. A good pastor. If he's just mean and hateful, he really don't care. But I'm talking about somebody that stick with you through thick and thin, man. He cares about you. He prays for you. He cares about what happens to the sheep. He's careful. Man, folks, whether you realize it or not, it's a pretty big thing to handle and deal with God's people. You are God's people. And pastors and preachers don't take light of that thing. And if they do, just kick them out. Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Offended. I'll tell you another reason why people don't finish. People don't finish because they got no commitment. They got no commitment in things of how they're going to do it. You know, if there's anything you want to do in life, well, look at a verse. Look at Psalms 37. If there's anything you want to do in life, no matter what it is, I mean, you want to learn how to play a guitar, it takes some commitment. You'll never learn if you don't commit to it. Hey, if you want to lose some weight, it takes some commitment. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm down 100 pounds right now. Hey, man, what do you mean, oh? Did you hear that? Let me reef back that up. You can take back your O and I'll keep going. You say, what are you talking about? It takes a commitment, man. Yeah. You say, what are you committed to? Being hungry and angry all the time. But either way, you're committed. You say, what are you talking about? People don't finish because they don't get committed.
Right.
You say, well, that's the preacher's job. It ain't my job. No, man, we're all in the ministry. We're all preachers. We're all trying to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. I'm talking about a commitment. Look at Psalms 37. We'll get down there in Psalms 37. Look at verse 5. Psalms 37, verse 5. The Bible says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You ought to commit your way unto the Lord. In Proverbs 16:3, you ought to commit your works unto the Lord. Amen. If you're going to succeed, you're going to have to get committed at it.
Amen.
You want, you folks, think about it. Husbands, if you want to succeed with your wife, you're going to have to be committed to her. Me and my wife, and look, I don't hold a candle to most of you folks, but we've been married this August 26, 24 years. 24 years that woman been putting up with me. You say, what is that? She's committed. You say, how do you know? Because if it wasn't true, if she wasn't committed, we wouldn't still be. Say, what are you talking about? You got to get committed to your wife. You got to get committed to your husband. You know what the problem is? Look at Philippians chapter 2. The problem is we're committed to everything but what we ought to be committed to. Amen. We're committed to everything but. We're so worried about the things that we want and the things we need and our job and our money and our mortgage payment and our car payment. And heaven forbid we keep a truck longer than 2 years. You know what I mean? Look over there at Philippians. Philippians, I better get on that one. I didn't look out in the parking lot yet. Look at Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know what it is? We're committed to the wrong thing. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. My Bible says, for all. You say, that means me? That means me. You say, that means you? That means you. All. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Right. You know why people ain't committed to finishing? They ain't committed because they're too worried about, you know, taking that boat out all weekend long. Yes. Hey, they're too worried about buying that new shotgun or that new pistol or that new whatever, man. Too worried about what those said on Facebook about them, and too worried about the television, too worried about, well, I don't want to miss the Super Bowl. You say, why don't people finish? Because we ain't committed.
Right.
You'd be surprised how many folks I've taken out on the street and taught how to street preach.
Yeah.
That ain't there no more.
Yeah.
You say, what happened? They're not committed.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised of how many people I've taught how to play a guitar just so I could take them to nursing homes and they could play for them elderly folk in the nursing home.
Yeah.
My two favorite places to preach is on the street and in the nursing home.
Yeah.
You say, why? On the street, I always get a reaction.
Yeah.
In a nursing home, them people ain't playing religion.
Right. Yeah.
They ain't. They're happy to come to church because they don't get to go. Hey, they got one foot on a banana peel and one in the grave, buddy.
Yeah, yeah,
and they know it.
Yeah.
They ain't playing religion.
Right.
They're real. They're my favorite places to go. Where are you at? Philippians 2?
Yes, sir.
I'll give you another one. You know, we won't turn to this one, but, well, we might as well. Why not? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll tell you why. Another reason people have no commitment. They have no commitment because they love this world too much.
Yeah.
This old stinking world, man.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's an odd thing for people to love something that hates them.
Right. Yeah.
You ever think about that?
Yeah. Right.
They love this world and they love sin so much. They love this world. They can't be committed to anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the stinking world hates their guts.
Yeah.
You know how many people ride by and say, go to hell.
Yeah.
Well, I always think, well, that's not nice. Why would you tell somebody?
Yeah.
It's just not nice.
Yeah.
Love of the world, love of the world. 2 Timothy 4:10, you see a love of the world. For Demas, having forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Grecia, Galatia, Titus, to Dalmatia. You say, what happened to Demas? He loved the world.
Yeah.
He loved the world.
Yeah.
You know another reason why people can't finish? They can't finish because once they get saved, if you get saved and you get in and you start doing something for Jesus Christ, hey, your friends will all forsake you. All your old buddies,
yes, sir.
They're gone.
Right.
You know how many of my old buddies call me anymore? None.
Right.
Not only will your friends forsake you and they'll leave you, they'll forsake you and flee. Your friends will, your family will too.
Yeah.
Well, he's always inviting me to revivals, and he's always inviting me to church, and he sends me gospel tracts, and he's trying to get my kids, and he's trying to get this one, and he's trying to get that one, and it's just a big embarrassment. You say, what are you talking about? That causes people to fall. Causes them not to finish. Because they're worried about what grandma's going to think, and they're worried about what grandpa's going to think, and they're worried about what the brothers are going to think, and the sisters are going to think. And you say, what happens? Because of it, they don't finish. Friend, are you going to finish? I got ordained into the ministry about, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Brother Joe Coley came up, and he did my ordination for me, and we had two dear brothers in the church. The deacon of our church, he was on the ordination, and we had another dear brother in the church. And then we had another pastor come in, and I don't know how many of you have ever been through an ordination before, but you go in there, and they ask you all kind of Bible questions to see where you stand on the book, which I think is good. But one of the questions, and Brother Joe didn't ask this question, but I always thought this question was really, really dumb. Just dumb. I mean, D-U-M, dumb. One of the questions that I got asked, and I've been told that they ask this at a lot of ordinations, is one of the things they asked me was, and it wasn't Brother Joe, because I wouldn't tell this story if it was, because he's sitting back here. But anyway, one of the questions, one of the guys, he asked me, he said, what would it take for you to get out of the ministry? What kind of dumb question is that? How am I supposed to know? What do you want me to do? Stand up here and lie and say nothing could get me out? Nobody can say that. I hope nothing could get me out. I pray nothing could get me out. Look, folks, my two biggest fears in my life is not finishing, number one. That's my biggest fear in life. Number two is jail. I don't want to go to jail. Folks, I am too pretty for jail. Too pretty for jail. You say, what are you talking about? My big fear in life is not finishing. I know, I've known all kind of guys that have had all kind of good excuses to finish, not finish. Amen. We got a brother in our church. He's a dear brother. He's a good friend of mine. He's 86 years old. He had a little girl back in the late 60s. Her name was Monica. And brother had a garage down in the town, and he owned his own garage, and he was in his 20s, you know. And Monica heard the ice cream truck coming through, and she said, Daddy, can I go out there and get an ice cream? And he said, sure, I'll walk you across. So he walked her across the street, and he says, now when you get the ice cream, you come back, and you just wait, and I'll come back and get you. And he hurried back into the garage to fill up a car or whatever the case may be. She came back, and he went like this. He said, wait a minute, honey, wait a minute. And she misunderstood him. She was just a little girl, Monica was. And she darted across the road, and wham! And she laid in the hospital, hooked up to anything and everything, trying to keep her life alive.
Yeah.
And it finally got to the point where he had to go in there and say, unhook her.
Yeah.
That fella had a pretty good excuse.
Yeah.
My friend that we just buried back in January of this year, his name was Pat, Brother Pat. He was 82 years old. We just buried him back in January, and he finished, man. But he died, and Brother Pat, he had all kind of reasons not to finish. He had all kind of good excuses where if he would have said, that's it, I'm done, I would have stood back and said, I can see why. He had a boy who was 36 years old, and his boy was a drunkard and everything else. He claimed to be saved, and he probably was. He probably got saved when he was a teenager like he claimed, but 36 years old, he finally decided, I've had enough, and he pulled it out and went, boom! And his brother had to go in there and clean that mess up. He said, what are you talking about? I've known all kind of good reasons, excuses, why people could have said, I'm done.
Right.
And then people will say, what would it take for you not to finish?
Yeah.
You say, what are you talking about? Them boys are more holy than me, and they're more spiritual than me.
Right.
Because I don't know if I could finish after that.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
There's all kind of reasons why people don't finish, man.
Right.
Abandonment, a family of friends. People don't finish because they get weary and well-doing. There's no balance in their Christian life. People don't finish because something else steals their heart. Where are you at? Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Something else steals their heart, whether it be money, whether it be a job, whether it be a woman, whether it be a man, whatever the case may be. I don't know, in this day and age, if you're a man and another man steals your heart. I don't know. Things have gotten weird. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. People don't finish, and there's all all kind of reasons why. Yeah. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 down there in verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. The Bible says in that verse, keep thy heart with all diligence. Yes, for out of it are the issues of the life. Of life. You say, what are you talking about? Something else steals your heart. And it gets you away from God. And it gets you away from that book. And it gets you away from God's people.
Yeah.
And you end up not finished. My pastor, Pastor Schmuck, would stand up and he'd say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. How are you going to finish? How are you going to finish? Can I tell you folks something? Jesus is coming soon. Whether you believe that, whether you don't believe that, don't mean nothing to me. He's still coming, amen? Folks, I just want to finish. And I want to finish well. I want to be like the Apostle Paul and say, I'm not ready, man. I fought a good fight. I finished this thing, man. You can go on and on. Not only look back there at 2 Timothy. Brother, what time do you quit around here? Folks, you don't tell a preacher to mind the Lord. You'll be here till 10 o'clock at night, man. I know what you're saying, but... 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, that Bible says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Let me give you another one. He said he fought a good fight. You know, there's been an aspect to Christianity that is a militant aspect. In other words, it's an aspect that you are a soldier in the Lord's army, and you're here to fight for him.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of Christians have lost their fight. They ain't got no fight in them.
Amen.
You know, the preacher last week, he preached a message up there talking about, I forget the message. That's embarrassing. You got to get your mind right. You got to get your mind right, he said. And that came off of a movie, but that movie, I ain't going to get into all that. But in that movie, there's a better part in that movie where old Luke, man, he keeps getting knocked down in the beginning of that thing. Y'all remember that? You're like, I don't even know what movie you're talking about. Cool Hand Luke, all right? In the beginning of it, old Luke, he remember that movie? I know y'all are acting real holy. We don't watch nothing like that. We don't do that down here. You're just like my people. I was wrong. You fit right in with them. You say, what? In the beginning of it, you just pretend and I'll pretend. Amen. In the beginning of it, old Luke, he keeps getting punched and he gets punched and he gets laid out. And then he gets back up. And he lays him back out, and he hits him again, and he gets up again, and it goes over and over. And they're finally, they get to the end of this thing, and he's all beat up. And he tells them, everybody's yelling at him. They're saying, Luke, just stay down. Just stay down. And Luke says, I ain't staying down. And he gets up. Finally, he wins over the respect of the man that's beating on him, and the man picks him up and carries him into the barracks. That's how we ought to be. That's how we ought to be. We ought to be in a fight, and every time we get knocked down, every time we get laid out, we get back up and go for round 2 or round 10 or round 50, whatever the case may be. You're in a fight. You're in a fight. The Bible says over there in Song of Solomon chapter 6, it refers to us as an army with banners. An army is commanded to fight, 1 Timothy 6:12, if you're writing them down. An army has an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. You have an adversary. It's the world. It's your flesh, and it's the devil.
Amen.
You're in a fight, man.
Right.
You say, folks, you do realize the reason that you folks do what you do is because you're in a fight, right? You say, what am I in a fight against? I just told you what you're in a fight against, but you're also in a fight to keep people out of a devil's hell.
Right. Amen.
My great-granddaddy Keenan is burning right now. My great-grandmother, I'm pretty sure, is burning right now, Keenan. My great-uncle Norman is burning right now, Keenan. You say, what are you talking about? How many folks you got burning right now?
Yeah.
Amen. You got a pile of them, just like I do.
Yeah.
I don't want no more to go.
Amen.
You see, them people ride by, and, you know, some of these clowns that go out street preaching, they get in fights on the street and all that junk. That's wicked as hell, too. We go out there and we say, the Bible says, you must be born again. And we quote them scripture after scripture. That's all we do.
Yeah.
People ride by and scream at us. I don't get mad. You say, why not? They don't know no better, man.
Right.
They don't know no better.
Right.
They're just doing what lost people do.
Right.
Some of these preachers in this day and age, they get real hard on the queers and they get real hard on the transgenders. And don't get me wrong, that stuff's wicked and you need to teach your kids that it's wicked and you need to say sin is sin. I understand all that. But man, I don't think we should go kill them. That's nuts. They'll die and go to hell. Some of these guys, you know, they're for Ukraine and they're against Russia, or they're for this one and they're for that one. You do realize every time a rocket goes into a Russian T, whatever it is, tank and blows that up, you do realize that five men just died, right?
Amen.
Neither went up or they went down.
Amen.
That ain't nothing to celebrate.
Amen.
Folks, we're supposed to be above all that. That Bible says not to get entangled with the affairs of this life.
Amen.
We're supposed to be entangled with the affairs of the next life and being worried about who we take with us. That Bible says this army has armor, Ephesians chapter 6. That Bible says this army has weapons, 2 Corinthians 10:4 and Hebrews 4:12. That Bible says this army has a commanding officer in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. That Bible says this army is made up of soldiers. Its soldiers are at a war. They're in a war. Did you know that soldiers, they get trained constantly? Isn't that a wild thing? They go to training constantly. Isn't that an odd thing? You come to training constantly. You come out to the church house, that preacher or some other preacher, he tries to give you some training, or your Sunday school teacher, you say, what are they doing? You're in training. You're in training. You realize, folks, that I'm in training. All preachers are in training. You say, what are you talking about? Preachers haven't arrived.
Right.
Nah. We still got to study that book constantly. You say, why? Because we're in training. That Bible says that soldiers have manuals. You do realize that, don't you?
Yes,
sir. He has a manual he has to follow.
Right.
Friend, you're in a fight. You're in a fight.
Yep.
And you're going to fall in this Christian life.
Yep.
Don't be surprised.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Man, it ain't any of that. It's just how you get back up.
Amen.
I preached a message called Get Up, Get Right, and Get Going one time.
Amen.
Said, what are you talking about? Get up. Once you're up, get it right. And once you're right, get back to going again.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize, folks, do you realize, whether you realize it or not, but your church, his church, other churches around this country, you're an encouragement to everybody else. You imagine if one day preacher's wife, she shoots me a text message and says, preacher choked on a meatball last night. He's dead. Apparently you eat a lot of meatballs, brother, because they ain't laughing. He's dead. The church is folding up. We ain't got nobody to take over. Do you know what that would be like for my church? Huh? If somebody called up and said, Brother Joe, he had a heart attack and he fell over dead, he's gone. You know what that would be? My people love him. My people love him. Not only that, but just knowing you're down here is an encouragement. You do realize that Elijah, when he got to running from Ahab and he thought he was going to die, you remember that? You remember when he ran over there and he was hiding out and God came to him and he said, Lord, you don't understand. He says, I'm the only one left. You say, what happened? He was depressed.
Right.
You know why he was depressed? Because he thought he was the only one left.
Amen.
You imagine if we got to thinking up there that we were the only ones left?
Yes.
How about it? You going to finish, friend? You say, preacher, well, you just said, hey, how do I know what's going to happen? I don't know, but man, I sure am going to try.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Preacher, why don't you come give an invitation the way you see fit? I don't know how you do things, but you do it the way you see fit.